In the Catholic Church for some time, this particular Sunday was also known as the Feast of the Circumcision, or the Octave of the Lord. And it represents a particular moment in Jesus's young life, a particular moment when the Jewish tradition in which he was steeped and which was so formative for him throughout his entire earthly life was particularly marked, because it was the day when he officially joined the covenant of his faith. And so it's a little bit of a shame we no longer celebrate that. Even the Catholic Church refers to today as the Solemnity of Mary, or the Feast of Peace, and those are wonderful things too. It is an opportunity that I think we have lost to talk about the deep continuity between the Jewish tradition and the Christian tradition from which it springs. Hear these words then from Luke's Gospel. There was at that time in Jerusalem a man called Simeon. This man was upright and devout, one who watched and waited for the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your servant in peace according to your promise. For I have seen with my own eyes the deliverance you have made ready in full view of all nations, a light that will bring revelation to all the world and glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were full of wonder at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to be a sign that will be rejected, and you too will be pierced to the heart. Many in Israel will stand or fall because of him. And so the secret thoughts of many will be laid bare." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a very old woman who had lived 7 years with her husband after she was first married, and then alone as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. Coming up at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and she talked about the child to all who were looking for the liberation of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything prescribed in the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew big and strong and full of wisdom, and God's favor was upon him. Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. I want to begin this morning with a story that's actually out of the Buddhist tradition. It's called The Farmer's Luck, and you'll see where I'm going in a minute. Once upon a time, there was an old farmer who had worked his crops for many, many years, and one day his horse ran away. And his neighbors heard the news, and they came to visit him at his small plot of land, and they said, "Wow, what terrible luck." The farmer shrugged and said, well, maybe. And the next day, the horse returned, bringing along with it two other wild horses. And the neighbors came back and they said, "Well, aren't you the lucky one? Now you have three beautiful horses." The farmer shrugged again and said, maybe. The day after that, his young son tried to ride one of the wild horses and was thrown off and broke his leg rather badly. Farmer's neighbors heard about it, and they came by to check on the son and express their regrets, and they said, "Wow, we are really so sorry about your bad luck." And he said, "Well, maybe." The day after that, military officials from the capital came to the village, and they were unannounced, and they came to draft the village's young men into the army to fight a war in a faraway country. But seeing that the son's leg was broken, they did not draft him, and he was not required to go. "What incredible luck," said the neighbors. And the man paused and said, "Well, maybe." That's the end of the story, or perhaps it's more accurate to say that is the moment when the story decides to stop, because, of course, it's just as easy to imagine any number of further consequences, good and bad, that might have flowed from the fact that the son was able to stay at home and not to be taken away in the army. If you wanted it to, this is a story, of course, that could go on forever. And as you've probably guessed, that's part of the point that the story is trying to make. The story wants us to recognize that luck, whether it be good or bad, is inevitably mixed together. It wants us to recognize that you never quite know what will happen next. Good can come from bad. Bad can come from good. And I think we know, of course, just in our own lives, that that is true. Life can be like that. I think of so many situations where the good and the bad are all mixed together. And I think of that even in the context of this year that has just ended. And yet, when I'm really thinking about it, if I think about what I said last year on this first Sunday of the new year, it's probably true that I might have said the same thing then. It seems like whatever any year manages to offer, or just, you know, maybe in some cases we would say it's what the year dishes out. You know, we always enter the new year with that sense, that hope. Whew, I hope this next one's going to be a little easier. I remember in 2020, at the end of 2020, Liz got an ornament for her colleagues as a holiday gift. It was a little plastic dumpster with a little fire that came, that you hit a light and it was like flames were coming out of this little dumpster, and the dumpster just said 2020. Right? There was that sense, 2020 was awful. Man, 2021 is going to be off the charts. I don't know about you, but it wasn't exactly off the charts. I mean, it was on the charts, but there was plenty that was still hard, plenty that was still challenging. In many ways, there was stuff that got easier, and there were some things that were more difficult. And in its own way, the same is true of this year. Whatever any given year manages to dish out, we always hope that what's ahead is going to be easier. This coming year, we think, couldn't possibly have that same kind of mix of good and bad, the same highs and same lows that the last one did. And they don't. They are different. And yet. The Romans, as we mentioned earlier, seemed to understand this. They named January, as I said, after the Roman god Janus, the two-faced god with one face looking backward into the past and the other looking forward into the future. The Romans understood how we've been pulled in two different directions at the start of any given year, and still managing everything that has happened to us, even as we look to a time of new beginnings. They knew that this turn of the year was no simple thing. And I'm not sure we always acknowledge that as much as we might. During Christmas, especially in the lead up to Christmas, we watch a lot of Christmas movies in our house, and a lot of lovely evenings seeing all of the greats. It's a Wonderful Life that I can't watch without weeping completely. Christmas Carol, the Muppet version, of course, which is the most faithful to the original text. Rudolph, Die Hard. But think about it. What are the great New Year's movies? When Harry Met Sally? That's famous for the romantic ending on New Year's Eve, right? Bridget Jones's Diary, which your pastor is not recommending Bridget Jones's Diary, begins on New Year's Day and ends on the following New Year's Eve. Sunset Boulevard. Happy New Year, Sunset Boulevard. The Godfather 2. Trading Places. The Rat Pack version of Ocean's 11. Last but not least, I know Bob Willett sees where I'm going, The Poseidon Adventure. That's a New Year's Eve movie. That's the one with the cruise ship that gets flipped over by a tidal wave. The really great New Year's movies are movies in which kind of terrible things happen. And it's hard not to think that whatever it is that Christmas movies are trying to affirm, New Year's movies are kind of trying to take back, right? New Year's movies remind us of the rules of the world we know, that love is kind of hard to find. That love can sometimes even be humiliating, that fame fades, that family is fragile, that greed is real and tragedy too. They contrast those movies. They contrast the festivity and elegance of New Year's Eve with any number of tremendous primal forces that are at work just below the surface. And I'm not convinced that we name that quite carefully enough. As the year turns, so often as the clock strikes midnight, we just wish for it all to be easier going forward. And fair enough. But our scripture this morning actually calls us to something deeper, something that is more profound than that vague wishing. Instead of wishing us success on holding on to luck, it calls us to abide in faith. And that's a very different kind of benediction, and it points to a very different kind of hope. Luke's gospel tells the story of Simeon, this old man described as righteous and devout, who has been told by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he sees the Messiah. And according to Luke, when the infant Jesus is brought by his parents to the temple for dedication in accordance with religious law, Simeon is guided by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple to meet him. And encountering the little family, the old man takes the baby Jesus in his arms and says these famous words. It's a little bit of a different translation than the one I read before. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, he says, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to all the world and for glory to your people. And we can't tell if he's looking down and speaking these words to Jesus, or just looking on Jesus while he speaks a prayer aloud to God the Father. And does he understand that he's holding God in his arms? We don't know. Maybe he did not know. In the Orthodox tradition, Simeon is sometimes referred to as holy and righteous Simeon, the God receiver. And it's hard to believe that Simeon would have acknowledged a title quite as grand as that one. But what seems clearer is that this meeting is that in meeting even the infant Jesus, Simeon sees his life as complete. Somehow he has found that glimpse of God, that glimpse of God's purposes for the world that he had been told to expect. Like us, Simeon stands on the cusp between the old and the new, but in the new he sees something differently than most of us so often seem to. Most of us, I think, look at the new year and see precious little that's actually new. The calendar rolls over, but the challenges have not, as we've said again and again. But on that day in the temple, Simeon sees something different. In his new day, he saw that God's great response to all his questions had arrived. The fulfillment of all his hopes had arrived. What he had been waiting for had arrived. And in that, he saw his own life story come together. And so, in a world where so often the answer to the luck that seems to arrive for us is, well, maybe, Simeon held God's gentle yes in his arms. And the reason we tell the story now is not only because Simeon did, but because you and I can too. Our lives can come together too. With God's grace, we can learn to hold on to that same gentle, tender yes. A yes that comes to us and comes to each and everything that God has made. And God's promise to us is that if we do hold on to that gentle yes, then indeed our time going forward will be transformed. As we learn to become God receivers like Simeon, our plans may change, our expectations may change, our prospects may change, even our luck may change. But God's promise to us is that what may change will pale by comparison to what abides. God's promise to us is that soon and very soon we'll discover that our own destiny has been fulfilled, that our lives are complete, that our hearts and our hands are full, and that our work has only just begun. God's promise is that our stories are not ending, but finally getting their chance to begin. That's not the start of just a new season for us, or a new year, or a new era. What God says is that it is the start of a whole new world. For us and for all people. Indeed, may it be so. Amen.